And, you know, we're really excited you guys are here today. We're in this series that we're calling Unpause, and it's all about how do we just hit the play button again on life? You know, COVID just continues to throw curveballs after curveball after curveball. You know, it's like just when you settle into what you think life is going to be, then the president gets COVID, and it's like, oh, okay, that's
the president got COVID.
Yeah, you hadn't heard? Yeah. And half of Congress and everybody else that's been, you know, wherever. Oh, my goodness. So, it's, you know, and so from a purely human standpoint, you know, it's very, I mean, just a very real response for us to just be like, okay, time out. I just need to, you know, just stop for a moment. And sometimes that's good. But sometimes I think the tendency for us is to stop a little too long and forget that, you know, God is still moving and God is still working in the world. And today what we want to dig into is just the idea that God's not just moving out there in the world. If you missed that message from Pastor Ryan, go listen to it. It was a great message. But even beyond that is today it's God speaks to us. God speaks to us. And so we want to kind of dig into that a little bit today. What does that look like? What do we struggle with when we think about that statement? But we wanted to start with something a little fun today, just because why not, right? I mean, the world's different than anything else. So we've got a little game for you. And if you're online, you can use the chat window to, you know, type in your answers. But we've got a few. The name of the game is Name the Voice. So we've got some clips that we're going to play. And, you know, and here's the thing, just if you know it, scream it out in the room, okay? If you know it online, type it in the window, you know? So we've got seven of these. I think I listed seven. So let's go with clip number, the first clip on the list there.
Say, yes, they deserve to die. I guess I got eaten. They ripped my arm off and left it in a shed somewhere. I never did.
There it is. Samuel L. Jackson. Very nice. How many of you knew that?
It's a dark comedy, too.
Oh, hold on. Not yet. Oh, that's, yeah, we'll do them one at a time. All right, so who all figured that one out before it was yelled out? Okay, a few. Movies, if you like movies, you might have known that. He's much more recognizable by the expletives that he uses than just...
Even if you're not confident in your answer, you can scream out the wrong one. That's what I was doing as we played this game earlier.
That is true.
You can't be worse than I was at this game.
He missed them all. It's okay. All right, let's go to the next clip.
It's a dark comedy too, but it's based as revenge.
And oh, there it is.
Journalist
there
was
it
asking
is. Liam Neeson. Very
into-
good. All right, that one you need the. I've got a particular set of skills, right? Isn't that the way? All right, let's go to the next one.
The goal for all of us should be that one day.
Oh, wow! I thought that would be a tricky one for this crowd. No, awesome. That is the president in the 80s, Ronald Reagan. There you go. All right, let's go to the next one.
So I remember I was in the middle of a job and they said I was pregnant and I was shooting this movie. And
oh,
I was really
very nice. Look at there, Reese Witherspoon. Very good. Yeah. All right, let's go to that next one.
So while the law may not change the hearts of men, it can.
There you go. MLK. Very nice. That one's pretty easy. All right. Two more, I think. Go to the next one.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think we did some really, really cool things and elevated the franchise even more,
close.
Which is cool. And living here, I gotta tell you.
Oh, who said something?
Everybody know. Everybody close.
The Rock. That is correct. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Very good. We missed that one.
We did miss that one.
But all right, very good. Is there one more left?
The judging criteria or the voting criteria here was to vote people through.
You should listen to what he said.
Managing to sing every note out of tune, you would win tonight.
If you didn't know it by his voice, you knew it by what he said.
So. It was a giveaway.
You know, this is a fun, stupid little game. But here's the question, you know. How do you know these voices? How did you know that it was going to be that person? There's certain things that happen in order for you to recognize the voice.
Right. Some of you have a lot more experience listening to these voices because you watch more TV than other people. If you never watch TV... You're out of luck. You're not going to know any of these
that
voices.
That got an amen.
That got an amen.
Or actually got a woo-hoo.
Somebody loves TV. But there's an experiential aspect. Like, if you know somebody well, you hear the voice a lot, you're way more likely to be
Absolutely.
Able
to. Absolutely. Not it. Only that, this game doesn't show this, but there is kind of a relationship that oftentimes is happening, but is how you recognize the voice. And so, right. You know, and a lot of times, even in that relationship, we understand that in true communication, it's more than just passing on information. It's about sharing life together. And so that's why I think the relationship can be important in recognizing somebody's
voice. But even
if
you have a lot of experience and a great relationship, like me with my wife, there are times she speaks and I do not recognize her voice.
That never happens.
She gets so mad at me. Did you not hear what I just said? If I'm not listening, then I can know her voice. I should be able to put it all together, and I don't have a clue simply because I'm so in my own head. And sometimes that happens with people that you just have no idea people are talking to you because you're so in your own head, you're so busy, so consumed with stuff around you.
That happened to us this morning. Ryan was trying to run through the notes with me this morning and look at the slides that are going to be on the screen, and I swear to you, like five times, I'm like, I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Yes, you were on your phone.
I was looking at things and everything else. The last one, too, I think, is the expectation. You know, you recognize somebody's voice when that game is very challenging, at least it probably is, because you have no context in which to recognize somebody's voice. But in life, if you have the context or if you're expecting to have conversation, you do kind of anticipate that's going to happen. So you can.
Yeah, when somebody calls that you haven't talked to in a couple of years, you may have known them really well, but you're just not expecting to receive that call.
Right. Or as a junior high boy, you know, as you're waiting for that phone call, at least when I was in junior high, you know.
And you didn't have
caller ID. You had that expectation of a call and you're, oh, is that the person? And you're kind of expecting that voice on the other end. Those are all some ways that we can recognize voices. But today, I think we're going to kind of walk through a series of questions because I think this is important. And the first question we want to just kind of lead in with is, you know, do we believe that God speaks? And you don't have to answer that out loud, but do you believe that God speaks? Think about that for a second. And I think there are a couple of different ways we can answer that question. We can answer it in a Sunday school answer, and we can answer it in reality.
Yeah.
And sometimes those answers are the same, but a lot of times those answers are different.
Well, because in Sunday school we say, well, of course we know God speaks because he has spoken. That's what we have in our Bible. Yep. You know, this is God's word. We've got lots of stories of God speaking. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he anointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. But he starts by, he spoke through the prophets. Yeah. And so that's a lot of the writings that we have in scriptures. God speaking to typically men, and then penning and writing down those words.
Yeah, and even beyond just even the prophets, you can go back to the Old Testament, and you see all these examples of God speaking. And you can, you know, just a quick list you and I came up with this week was like Abraham, when he's like, hey, Abraham, I want you to go to a new land that I will show you. Right. There was Moses.
In the burning bush.
Burning bush, which you have to admit would have been really freaky and really cool all at the same time. I'd love that in my own life. You know, Elijah. You know, do you guys remember the story of Elijah? He's just had this incredible triumph and victory over the prophets of Baal, where God has, you know, brought the fire down from heaven. And he's running and, you know, he's depressed and he's looking for God to speak. And there's a wind and there's all these things. There's massive, big things happening. And then it says, and God spoke to him in a still, small voice. It's almost that quiet whisper that God spoke to him.
And you're seeing Gideon's another, maybe lesser known, but people use Gideon sometimes when they're praying. Gideon,
God speaks. It's not a good example.
God speaks to Gideon, gives him clear instruction, but Gideon doesn't actually trust God. So he says, okay, God, I'm going to put a fleece out, and in the morning, if there's dew on the fleece but not on the ground around, then I will trust your voice.
Anybody ever done that before? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand.
And then God does it. And then God does it. And he says, okay, God, I still don't trust you. That could have been coincidence. Let's do it again in reverse. Dew on the ground, not on the fleece.
And then the question is, how many of you have done that before? Don't raise your hands again. Yeah, but it is kind of interesting. And then even just as we've started this series a couple weeks ago, I talked about the prophet Ezekiel, where Ezekiel has this incredible vision of God showing him, you know, the valley of dry bones and them coming back to life. You move to the New Testament, you have, you know, it kicks off right away with Mary and Joseph, and we have the angel or the messenger from God that appears, which is frightening.
Peter has a vision.
Peter has a vision in Acts 10 to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Right. Paul has his. Paul has several.
Yeah.
Paul has Jesus in a blinding light on the road to Damascus.
The Macedonian call saying, no, go that way. So we see God speaks in a lot of different ways in Scripture. We see visions and dreams and angels, and they cast lots often. It's like, or drawing straws. Yeah. We see the Urim and the Thummim, which is this, I don't understand it. It was kind of a big breastplate that the priests wore that we don't really understand. It kind of sounds magical. But really, what we see is, in a lot of different ways, all through Scripture, God spoke to people very clearly.
Yeah, he did.
But that leaves us with a question for ourselves today.
Does God continue to speak today? Does God, you know, it's one thing for us to go, yes, God has spoken. But does God continue to speak today? And honestly, this whole conversation is a much bigger conversation that's been taking place in the church for thousands of years, just simply because there's this idea that's called cessationism. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but cessationism is the idea that says that basically once the New Testament was completely written, John received his revelation from God, another way God spoke, that was it, that the ways that we see God moving in the Old and New Testament is done. It has ceased. And so there are people that believe. And so when you ask that question, does God continue to speak today? If you're on that side of the debate, you would probably say, not kind of. Maybe through the Bible, and we'll talk about that in a second. But not really. He doesn't do that. Right. And then the other side of the debate, though, maybe, and there's a huge spectrum here, and I'm giving you the ends of the spectrum here. More of the charismatic Pentecostal side of things that leans into the Holy Spirit, that leans into the more miraculous signs and wonders and things like that. And they would say, absolutely, God continues to speak. And so you can land really anywhere in between there.
And because of those two extremes, we've got a lot of misconceptions of when people think of, okay, God spoke to me, or they hear a pastor say, well, God spoke to me today. And I'd
To be fair, we very rarely say, I mean, you 2 weeks ago at the end of my message, I said, I felt impressed by God to say, I am the prophet for you today. Hear these words.
And in 7 years, I think that's the first time I've heard
you say
that.
That's the only time. And we don't throw that around because we think it does get thrown around, and it should. But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. So we've got these misconceptions, and some people think, well, God only speaks through the big, the miraculous, the burning bush, the angels, the visions and the dreams. And since that's not a normal experience for probably most of us in this room, we're like, well, that means that God doesn't speak.
Right.
You know, he doesn't care. Or maybe that God speaks in an audible voice. Yeah. I know working with youth, I've had that a conversation with kids. Like, well, how does God speak? Do you hear it? Because tend to be black and white thinkers. If you're a teenager, that's okay. We grow past that. But there, in their mind, if somebody is speaking, then that means that I am hearing something with my physical ears.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's others that the other misconception is, well, it's only for the spiritual elite. So 2 weeks ago when I make that statement, you're like, well, of course, you're a pastor. God speaks to you.
And every day.
Every day. Yeah, every day. So we kind of put that out there and assume that that's exact. Well, you have to be a special class of people in order for God. That's such a misconception. Or the other one is it's just only for the spiritual wackos, like I said.
The elite or the wackos.
Yeah, the elite or the wacko. And you guys know I say that kind of tongue in cheek because I'm not calling people actually wackos. But that's the mentality we get is when we think, oh, those are weird people.
We go to people sometimes think that they can make God speak. Like I can put him in a corner and say, okay, God, I need an answer right now. So for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to sit quietly and I'm going to listen to this music. And you're going to have to answer, do I take the job or not take the job? Do I break up with her or do I not break up with her? That's what teenagers do.
That doesn't happen for you?
No, not for a long time. You know, whatever the decision is, but we're like, okay, I'm going to make this point and God, now you got to do it right now. Go.
Yeah.
And that's actually a story I've got in my family, and what it ended up doing was causing my brother to say, well, God doesn't speak. I never heard from him. My 10 minutes have passed, and he walked away from the faith. And it's because we can't twist God's arm into speaking how we want him to speak in the time that we want him to accomplish it.
The thing that as you look through the Bible and you understand the way God speaks is that most of the time it's his initiation. Mm-hmm. It's not us forcing God to do anything. God takes that initiative, which is great for us because it's what he wants to do. And the last thing you see is we assume that activity is listening. And this is, you know, we could put a lot of things here. We could say activity is listening, Bible study is listening, things like that. We assume that if we're serving, if we're doing, then that's the same as listening for God. But really what you find is it's not the same. that sometimes, and we'll talk about this in just a second, is that if we're so busy, what that does is it drowns out any opportunity for God to be able to speak to us. And so we've got to figure out ways to stop the activity, because it's more than just activity. You know, what I want you to understand is that God, where do we stand as a church? And, you know, we don't force everybody to believe everything that we do. I think that's what makes us a little bit unique as a church. I'm not even sure you and I agree on everything. But, you know, where I sit on this topic is I absolutely believe that God still speaks today. I believe that God desires relationship with his creation. That is one of the overarching things, is that because God created us to live in relationship with him, he desires that conversation with us. Now, I think the problem comes in is when we don't respond to God, or we get so busy, or we do all these things that prevent us from hearing from God. And so what we understand is that in order for us to hear what God is saying, really it requires proximity and the right relationship. We need to put ourselves close to God, and we need to be in a position ready to receive. And it's that relational aspect of it. You know, if somebody calls you on the phone, if you didn't have caller ID, if it's somebody you know well, you pick up the phone, they say hello, you know exactly who it is right away. And I think it's the same for us with God. Sometimes we have to remember that relationship becomes so critical. And so because we believe that God continues to speak to get today, the question is how? Then how does God speak? And we're, you know, I would love to give you, like, here are the three things that you can do to ensure that you hear the voice of God today. But I'm not going to be able to do that. So just, you know, because it's a relationship, because you can't put it in this predefined box, there's a lot we're going to say, but it's going to just be, it's not going to be hard and fast rules that say, right, this is how you manipulate God to get him to speak,
right,
to you.
When you look at Abraham's life, God speaks to him at 75 and at like 87 and at 99. And in all those gaps, you can't force it.
Yep. But what Abraham was missing, what we have today that allows God to speak to us, I think, more consistently, more constantly, is how does God speak? He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is kind of the overarching everything for those of us who are following Jesus in order to be able to hear the voice of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-13. Listen to this passage. It says, however, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. That's an exciting passage.
Yeah.
I mean, just as you read that, it's an amazing revelation to understand that the Holy Spirit of God is God, knows the deep thoughts of God, and it's the Holy Spirit that lives within us and is revealing to us the things of God, the things that God is thinking, the things, right, that we might not ever see or do on our own. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we will hear, we will see, and we will do things unlike,
right,
before.
Yeah, what these verses say, both this one and some that we have after here, is that the Holy Spirit teaches us, he guides us, mm-hmm, he convicts us. There's all these different things. When we don't know which direction to go or we feel uneasy about something, we can trust that the Spirit of God is going, yeah, to guide us. When we sometimes are tripping on our own two feet and making, yeah, mistakes in life, we can trust that the Holy Spirit's going to teach us and direct us and, yeah, show us ways that we need to grow up and we need to mature.
And the only way he can do that is if we're listening.
Yeah.
And that means he's speaking and are we listening? And so to me, as you dig into what the Bible, you know, John 14, Jesus is speaking. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. How are you taught? By listening. How are you taught? By God speaking into our lives. There's another passage as well. You want to read that?
Yeah, in John 16, Jesus is continuing his teaching with his disciples. He said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." In a moment of fake news, we don't know where we can trust. I was having this conversation with somebody this weekend. Like, you don't know what you can trust anymore. When the Spirit tells you something, you can trust what it's telling you, because what the Spirit tells you isn't anything he's making up. It's what comes directly from God. It's God's words for you that you can know, you can stand firm on and believe.
Yeah. As I was just perusing Facebook the last few days, there was actually a quote that I dropped into the message today because I thought it was so good. This article just said, when Jesus left the earth, he didn't say it's good for him to go away because he'll leave to us an unchanging book, but the advocate, the Spirit of truth. And I think that is so important for us to understand, is because, you know, we're going to talk here just right now about ways that God may speak to us. But every one of these hinges upon the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. Nothing happens. God does not speak without the Holy Spirit of God. Right. And so when we talk about how does God speak, we'll say he speaks through prayer. So that's putting ourselves in a posture. Now, to say the word prayer is a loaded word, right? Everybody has something that comes to mind. And it's more than just talking at God. Mm-hmm. It's more than just, well, God, I need this and I need this and bless this person and bless this person and do this and do that. Okay, there's my shopping list, God. Okay, thank you. Goodbye. You know, that. But typically, a lot of times, that's how we approach prayer. We really need to just stop using the word prayer and start talking, just call it conversation with God. And it's two-way conversation that exists between you speaking your heart to God and God speaking his heart back to you. And it's not, I mean, can you think about, just for example, if you had other relationships in your life that you treated and communicated in the same way that you prayed to God all the time, how deep would those relationships be? Well, Steve, it's great to see you. Well, I need this, and I need this. And thanks for today, Steve. All right, goodbye. Steve's just like,
he might want to speak to you, but you're not listening.
I'm not listening. And, you know, I think sometimes we think this may be silly, but have you ever just, even during the day, I mean, you're driving down the road and you see the beautiful sunrise, especially right now, you know, and it's like, God, thank you for the beautiful sunrise. And maybe you're driving home from work, if you get to drive home from work, or you're walking from the office to the kitchen, wherever. Yeah. And maybe it's just, God, you know, I had a good day today. Thanks for being a part of my day, and thanks for speaking. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's opening yourself up to see God as someone to have conversation with, not someone just to talk at. And I think that's what we have to understand. And when we do that, when we create that space in that prayer, we will find God speaking back into us a lot more. But in that first example of me just rattling off my list to God, when does God have the opportunity to speak?
Right.
I mean, think about that, even in your own prayer time. Have you created the space in your life to give God opportunity to speak?
It's not that he can't speak or he doesn't want to speak to you. Sometimes it's that we simply don't allow him the space to do that.
We can also talk about not just prayer, but the Bible. You see that? You know, we don't want to discount the Bible. The Bible is very important. It's God's story written to us to understand. And so God will speak to us. I mean, maybe you've had that experience. You're reading a passage, and it's a passage you've read 100 times. And for some reason, this time when you read it right here, it's like eyes open.
And that's because of the Holy Spirit. Like you were saying, where God didn't leave us just a book. Some people say, well, I just need the Bible and that's all I need. Well, the Bible, to some people, they read it and they're like, it's dry pages. What makes this alive and exciting is when the Holy Spirit takes the opportunity to lift a sentence, lift a phrase, exactly what you're going through jumps off. That's not the book or the pages of the book doing that. That's the Holy Spirit working through that and using it as a tool to speak to you and capture your attention.
Not only the Bible, but church. And we're not just talking about what we're doing today or we do on Sunday. You are the church. Mm-hmm. How God speaks to you through one another. And you need to, I hope you hear this constantly from us. We are not hired holy men. Our 9-to-5 is different than yours, but you are prophets, priests, and kings for Jesus Christ. You have everything at your disposal that I have at my disposal, and God will use you just as much, if not more, to speak to you, to other people, right, to encourage the body. And so not just the church. God can use your circumstances, you know, if we're paying attention. What about that inner nudging? Sometimes it's just...
When you know you're doing something wrong and you feel like, should I really do this? Should I really say that? Should I really be following this? And you just feel uneasy about it. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you screaming, stop, don't do it. And you've maybe muted that a little bit. You've tried to turn it off, but that's God speaking to us there.
And then not just that, but visions and dreams as well. And I know that may be a little controversial, but the more I talk to people, especially from international cultures, the more I realize that Jesus is revealing himself to people in very supernatural ways. When you hear about Muslims that are coming to faith or Hindus that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, typically a lot of what's accompanying that is, I saw Jesus. I had a vision, almost like Paul had a vision on the road to Damascus. And so, you know, Acts 2, Peter is quoting Joel where he says, in the last days, your young men will dream dreams, your young women will have visions. I mean, it's like, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Well, that is happened. The Spirit is on us. And so God is speaking, and he's going to speak sometimes even to visions and dreams.
And we can have confidence in that. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So regardless of how God's going to speak, what Jesus is giving us a very confident statement. Look, if you're following me, you will recognize my voice. We'll have the relationship. We'll have the experience. You'll be ready to expect it. And when I speak, you will hear it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to sit back and say, well, I love Jesus, but I can never hear it. I don't know it. He's saying, no, trust. Just take the time, listen, and you'll know my voice.
And it gets, the longer you spend with him, the easier it gets.
Yeah.
You know, and that leads us to really to some of our barriers, you know. I mean, we'll put those on the screen now too, but that last barrier that's up there, it says we're not expecting it, we're not looking for it, or it's been too long. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes for some of us, maybe even during this COVID season, that we've just been so knocked off our game that our spiritual life is just, and we don't know how to get it back. And you wouldn't know the voice of God if it, you know, was a sign dropped in front of you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it's okay. Because it's a relationship, because he loves us, because he wants to communicate with us, we can't get a picture of God where he's up there wagging his finger at you in your face. You need to do better. You need to, you know. No, this is the Father that's represented in the story of the prodigal son who is looking, he's waiting, and when he sees us just make that turn, he runs to us and he grabs us and he captures us up in his arms. But sometimes if it's been too long, maybe we're not expecting God to speak. Maybe that's one of the barriers we need to overcome.
It might be that we're too busy. We've talked about that. You know, life has just got us going a million different directions. There's too much noise. We always have the TV on, always have music on, always have something in our ears. There's never the quiet moment to just say, okay, God, what have you got for me? We don't like silence. We don't like sitting still. We feel like we're being inefficient.
Yep.
Well, okay, I can at least do the dishes while I listen to God. There's got to be something I can do while I'm waiting for him.
Right.
And we just need to slow down and say, okay, God, speak to
me. Even Jesus got away by himself on occasion to go and listen. You know, Jesus, who is the Son of God, said, I do nothing except what the Father has shown me to do. Jesus realized those things and knew those things by getting away and spending some time in quiet and solitude. And if Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it when we see that? And so, you know, last week Ryan talked about, you know, God, open our eyes to the activity that we see you doing in the world. This week, the whole point of this message is God, open our ears. Open our ears and let us hear the voice of God as you speak to us this week. And so we just end with a few questions today to have you think about. And the first one is just this. Are you willing to make the time? Are you willing to make the time? Are you willing to do what's necessary? Yes, silence is uncomfortable. No one likes it. Nobody, you know, it's why we constantly have stimuli all the time. But will you commit to this week to finding 5, 10 minutes, whatever, to start? Don't say, I'm going to spend an hour. You're not going to do it, you liar. Nobody does that. You got to start small. Don't set yourself up for failure, Ryan. No, For some reason, we have these big lofty goals that set us up for failure. Don't do that to yourself. God's not doing that to you. Don't do it to yourself. Can you do a, maybe you're thinking 5 minutes, that sounds long. Yeah, okay. Can you do a minute? Right. Set a timer on your phone or your watch or whatever and just say, okay, I'm going to give 1 minute of quiet just to, you know, and it's not putting God in a box and say, okay, God, speak to me. It's conditioning ourselves to find the quiet, to be able to hear. Mm-hmm. So maybe that 1 minute does become five, and who knows, maybe that five becomes 20 and that 20 becomes 60. And so it just creates the space. And then throughout the day, whatever you're doing, showering in the morning before you go to bed at night, driving down the street, just taking a break at work. Find those moments during the day that say, okay, God, I know I've been busy, but let me communicate to you about my day. And God, I want to hear from you. Is there something I need to be paying attention to today?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe for some of you today in this room, you've thought, I've never heard God speak before. In fact, hearing this concept that God actually still speaks today is a new thought for you to hear. Yeah. And we encourage you, you know, part of following Jesus is this promise that he is going to speak to us and he's going to allow us to hear his voice. And today you can decide that you want to follow Jesus. You want to speak to God. You're excited by the opportunity to know that the God who created this universe actually cares about you. And if that's you right now and you've been thinking that throughout this message, like, wait, this is all new. I've never thought of this before at all. Then I encourage you today, make a decision to follow Jesus and take some time today as you go from here, maybe as you're sitting in your room, to say, okay, God, speak to me. Yeah. I want to hear from you. Yeah. And I want to trust you with my life today. That's an opportunity that every person on this earth has. There's nothing special about those of us who are Baptist or those of us who are attend Ashworth. You know, if we follow Jesus, then he is going to speak to us.
Yeah, and if you follow Jesus, you've heard him speak at least once when he called you to follow. I mean, that's the initial call, that the initial voice that we all hear that calls us out of the ordinary into that relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then just finally, what barriers on that list are the ones that might be preventing you from listening? You know, unless we have an honest look at where we are and we evaluate and say, okay, these are the actual things that are standing in my way, we'll never make progress. We'll never move. And there's nothing wrong with going, you know what, I am too busy. Or, you know, I maybe it's sin and shame that keeps me from it. I'm ashamed of who I've become or what I've done. You know, as I said, God is not going to be the reason you can't talk to him. We will always be the one that stands in the way. God created us and he loves us. And if he'd have just wanted robots on this earth, he'd have made those. But God's desire from the beginning was a relationship, a love relationship with you. And part of that relationship means that God, the God who created it all, wants to speak to you, wants to speak into your life, even today, to give you life and to give you life to go out into other people so that you are living water for others. And so we just want to encourage you, what barriers or misconceptions may be in your way today?